Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Pete Futek joining us in just about 20 minutes here. We'll get back to Ohio State, the untested Ohio State, according to ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky. So with all that, it's interesting. Not only did we get the NFLPA team report card today, and it should be noted that for the head coach, now ownership got a C+.
Okay, then.
That's not great. Just so you're aware.
In all fairness, I would have a hard time filling out a report card that's like, oh yeah, it's anonymous. No one's ever going to find this out. Now tell us what your boss, your major big boss, is actually doing.
So this actually gets back to the idea of don't listen to their words because those have proven meaningless here, and listen to the actions, right? Like look at what actually transpires. And in this case for the players, they gave Jimmy the Haslams a C+. It should be noted, the Bears, not known for being great ownership,
yeah,
got an A-.
Well, that is surprising.
The
Virginia McCaskey died during this.
Maybe it was like a sympathy.
Was that the transition?
Grade?
Was that what that is?
I can't not give them a good like grade because their grandma died?
She died during the season, so we can't.
It's like a remember me patch.
How do we possibly give her like a D in this equation? Is that what that is? Easy
don't,
now.
Wrong. Don't leave that
wrong
open for me.
That was out of pocket.
That's somebody's grandma. Gosh, JP.
Was
however,
somebody's grandma.
That's fair. However, all right, Shad Khan in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Not done a lot of winning, right?
Yeah.
He got a B+. One full letter.
I think he does get credit for just for telling Trent Baalke you get to choose the new coach and then I fire you.
That's almost as powerful as dead grandma.
It's such a move, man. It's such a move.
Well,
you choose the person and then we'll let that and then that when that person says they don't want you around, we'll fire the other person. That's great.
Should be noted. And again, these are it should be noted, Kevin Stefanski got a C.
I like looking at the Bengals report card. I haven't seen this one out yet, but they just get like D's and F's everywhere.
And it should be, well, I'm like only looking at
their family stuff, their equipment room, all of this.
I'm cheating on this because Roberto Shenanigans took a screen grab of this.
Yeah.
The only other head coaches that got C's were in Jacksonville and the Bears. And this was from last year, of course.
Oh, okay.
So, oof, not great. Now, that being said, remember the whole actions, net words kind of thing. Well, Paul DePodesta being introduced to the Colorado media today, right? Getting to get a little flavor on Paul DePodesta. Well, we're going to listen to the question and answer. This is a full clip, so you guys don't think we're taking anything out of context here. Paul was asked about taking big swings and risks, and it was linked back to Deshaun Watson. And tell us if this is a shot or not a shot.
In your last position in Cleveland, you received a lot of blame for the Deshaun Watson trade that objectively was a failure with that organization. Is that fair? And if so, how can you be assured that you won't do something like that again here now in Colorado?
The previous question was about big swings, huh?
Risk.
Yeah. You know, I was also calling plays for the Browns, you know, and no. Look, and I've said this before, I think whenever you have a significant player decision, whether it's trade, big free agent signing, number one draft pick, whatever it is, like those are organizational decisions, right? Those are done collaboratively, like a lot of people on board. And if you're a senior leader of that organization at that time, then you own that decision. I mean, you do. We all do. So that's the way I feel about that. And it's the way I feel about sort of almost all the decisions we made there in Cleveland. I absolutely, you know, own them all. And look, I've said this now for probably 25 plus years. Like, I lost my no hitter a long time ago, like a long, long time ago. Like I'm not perfect. I haven't been perfect. I won't be perfect going forward. Like we are definitely going to miss again. But hopefully we learn from that, and we learn from both the successes and the failures, and you know, we get better the next time we need to make a significant decision. And I do feel like I've been able to do that through the course of my career. I feel confident that I'm a lot better today than I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And I hope 5 years from now, I'm a lot better than I am sitting here today.
Yeah, we're not confident that you're better than you were 10 years ago. However, nothing's funnier than him being like, yeah, I'm going to screw up again.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. All right. I would lead with that.
Well, that's very similar to Stefanski the other day talking about Dylan Gabriel. Every quarterback's going to miss some passes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They're going to miss 42% of them?
Here's the problem with this,
Nick. With the lowest data in the league?
Here's the problem with this. The shot he took at Stefanski there, what that tells me is that Di Podesta still believes in Deshaun Watson in an interesting way. Think about it for a second. Like that line right there, to say that in that moment, I'm not the one calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly thinks that Stefanski was the issue out of that relationship, doesn't he?
Or he thinks that the play calling contributed to the failure, yes. Maybe not the entire issue, but
here's where this is a problem for us, because I need to get it to where it's a problem for us, is that if somebody at the top of there believes that the play calling was the issue, or at least part of the issue, and you see where I'm going here.
And he has somebody's ear.
If this person also believes that Stefanski was part of the play calling and part of the issue, who's to say that in 2026 they'd give Deshaun Watson another try with a different head coach?
Yeah, here's the problem. If you thought it was Kevin Stefanski's play calling, which in real time, did I not yell for like years? Like, hey, why aren't we doing an offense built around Deshaun Watson? And why did we wait till year three to do that?
Uh-huh.
Did we not all have that conversation? Yeah, no, multiple
We had that conversation.
So, okay, if we're having those conversations, if this is a shot, it sounded like a shot.
That wasn't a guy that was convinced that he missed entirely on that move. That was not a guy that's convinced that he swung and missed in the funny ha-ha way that the Colorado media wanted him just to admit to and say, my bad, we're on to Colorado, we're not discussing this anymore.
Yes.
That was not a guy that was ready to fully admit that. That was a guy that wanted to drag Stefanski down with him in that moment, and that's a guy, if you made me bet right now, oh man, I'm so happy he's away from this organization now, because if you made me bet right now, he believes with the new coach, Deshaun Watson could do something.
Yeah, but here's the problem, is that you were in the organization. If you thought Kevin Stefanski was failing Deshaun Watson and nobody did anything, then you do own that, right?
We are a part of that, yes. You're part of who's there. He was a part of who's there the entire time.
This is why the thought partners just stink, all right? This is why it's so infuriating.
Already turning on each other.
Is that Paul Di Podesta now, when he's, you know, 1,500 miles away, can take this shot at Kevin Stefanski, when that's the guy he got hired here, and if he doesn't believe Kevin Stefanski if he does believe Stefanski's play calling was the issue, you were in a position to do something about it.
And so that's the problem. And honestly, in hearing that, it does make me a little surprised that
it actually pisses me off more.
Well, here's the problem though. You couldn't have fired him after 2 years is when you would have traditionally done that and went down that road, right? You would think after 2 years is when you would have done that.
How did no one just do this? Hey, Kevin, we know you like your precious little system, but either we move forward with Deshaun Watson in a Deshaun Watson offense, or go back to Minnesota.
I know, but the problem is that he won the 11 games and made the playoff appearance with Joe Flacco with five different quarterbacks of the year.
Remember, that was the year before. Well, made the trade.
No, I get all that. I'm trying to figure out the timeline for if Di Podesta really thinks that he hammered and was limiting to Deshaun Watson, that he would have made a move to then get him a different coach so that his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, could actually attempt to thrive based off of if he feels that the play calling is the only thing holding him back.
But okay, let's draw it in comparison to what we saw this week. The Lions had a very good offense. It wasn't good enough for Dan Campbell, who took away play calling from an offense that was top 10 in scoring. So Dan Campbell didn't wait for the offense to fail to recognize a problem. He saw it was going the wrong direction and said, we're going to fix this, and I'm going to take over play calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's leadership. Waiting for something to fail or seeing something's going wrong and going, oh, that's a shame. We'll get it in the end.
And for 3 years, to do that. But I'm telling you, that was not a guy that is 100% convinced Deshaun Watson can't play football anymore.
How to do press conferences? He was so unavailable here.
He could have stopped after the swing and the miss thing. We could have legitimately stopped like, oh, that was a swing and a miss. Ah, baseball pun. Everyone in the room laughed. Everyone in that room wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. That is an introductory press conference for someone that just got the job. They want to be friends with you. They want to like you. They want to be in the same team with you. They're going to be softer than Charmin. This isn't the time that you have to go ahead and say anything you didn't want to say. I think he intentionally, either he's an idiot, not ruling that out of the equation, but he intentionally put that in there with Stefanski. But that is not a guy that is convinced that Deshaun Watson can't play football.
Also,
if
I never hear we own that again, I will be a very happy human being. I mean, like, I heard that 3 times in that clip, and it's all I ever hear from Kevin. And then here's the thing. They don't own it. They say words, and then the words don't match the output or the actions. Hey, we own that. Oh, do you own that you stink? No, it's totally a shot. But the
100% a shot.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think a lot of Paul DePodesta before the shot. I somehow think less of DePodesta out of this shot than I do of Kevin Stefanski.
I mean, now I'm just worried. I'm worried how much of him, if he's the poison, how much of him got through the entire organization. Like does Haslam think the same way as DePodesta? Because that's what he loved about DePodesta for so long, is that he'd listened to his, I guess, his football year, whatever that is. But, like, that guy is not convinced Deshaun Watson can't play. That's not a guy that is convinced that he's shot the way that we are both convinced that he's shot.
216-474-0092. You heard Paul DePodesta. The question, the full answer. Does that sound like a shot at Kevin Stefanski to you? And I think JP takes it to a really interesting spot. Do you think this is a sign that there's more hope that Deshaun Watson could be saved by the Cleveland Browns here, if not for that pesky Kevin Stefanski, Pete Futek? In 5 minutes, I'm not about Pete. I'm very excited about Pete. Yay, Pete. It's about the Deshaun thing. Pete Futek, college football news in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Now, with that being said, don't worry, it's okay, the Browns are still awful. With that being said, Ohio State, not awful, pretty good, seem to be on the march here towards not just the playoffs, but another Big Ten championship, potentially another national championship. To talk Ohio State, to talk a big weekend in college football every single Thursday. At 4:20, we welcome on, of college football news, the great Pete Futek on the Fan Hotline. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, to tie into what you're talking about, and to tie this into college football, actually, it's pretty basic. You got the quarterback wrong. And, like, if you look across the NFL landscape, it's not hard. Every team that doesn't have a good quarterback is bad or in last place, and every team that does have a good quarterback is at least manageable to good. And, you know, the Cleveland just has not been able to figure out the quarterback situation. And coming up this year, I know you just invested in, you know, quarterbacks over the last draft and trying to figure out Gabriel and who knows what Shadur is. But, like, there is a big crop of quarterbacks coming out, and Cleveland's going to be in a position to try to take another shot at that.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Fernando Mendoza. Like, he doesn't know what might be about to hit him.
Well, that man's the bell of the ball for a little bit, though, right, Pete?
There's a lot of those. Mendoza, hey, look, Lenoris Sellers is still really talented. You know, he's had a rough time behind an awful offensive line, but he's going to be there. I mean, there's going to be a whole slew of good quarterbacks available to the Browns if that is the way that they're going to choose going forward.
I'm glad you said this, because in our quarterback Deadpool, which we filled you in on multiple times here, mm-hmm. I finally moved on from Nussie. I released Garrett Nussmeier from his contractual obligations, and I got Arch Manning off the waiver wire. How are we feeling?
Yeah, he's starting. You know, again, it's the crazy part about Texas right now, and again, tie this all in, they only have one loss in the SEC. They've kind of been forgotten about, because it's like, oh, well, you look at their schedule, and, you know, they have the loss to Ohio State, which at the time we said that's the killer. They couldn't afford that loss, and they lose to Florida. But they're a win away this week if they could somehow pull this off against Georgia, where you're looking ahead and you're like, well, they're going to beat Arkansas unless something weird happens. If they beat Alabama, all of a sudden that Texas A&M game, they're going into that with a shot at, you know, maybe if everything breaks the right way, the SEC championship, or more likely at 10-2, there's a shot at the college football playoff. I am not sold at all at 9-3, but he's playing better. You know, when he gets time to work, he's been all right lately. And if you get good arch this weekend, then all of a sudden, look out.
Yeah, isn't it also just as easy, though, to suggest that he would lose this game against Georgia? He loses the game against Texas A&M, and then Texas football is unranked. And then the Ohio State win isn't even that valuable either there, Pete.
Well, try this one. Ohio State, I mean, again, Ohio State doesn't care about strength of schedule. It's fine. There's no issues there. No one's saying anything. There's anything concerned. But it's not their fault that Penn State's awful and Wisconsin totally sucks. But, like, the crazy part about this is if you're looking hard at schedules, their last three wins, those three teams combined are, what, 1-18 in the Big Ten? And that one was the Wisconsin win last week when their punter led the team in passing. I mean, they're not exact. It's, again, not Ohio State's fault that Penn State's bad. You got to play on the schedule. But not exactly they haven't had a murderer's row, which is great for them because they could fine-tune. You know, they're not going to lose this week. So maybe what they try to do is, okay, they've had one takeaway in the last couple of games. Well, maybe they try to, like, just tighten that up a little bit or really try to hammer down on Nico, you know, who is pretty good running the ball the last time he was in Columbus, but they got blown out, Tennessee did. Or maybe just try to see what they can do. They're now just tuning everything up to try to keep this thing going forward because obviously going, you know, all that matters is what are they going to do in a few weeks, obviously against Michigan for the sanity of the fan base. But what do they do in the college football playoff? Because right now, doesn't look like there are a whole lot of killers out there that, you know, Ohio State can't handle.
Pete, I'm glad you mentioned Michigan. We got two more matchups, including Ohio State versus UCLA. What a juggernaut of a game this is. But you look at Michigan. They got two losses on the season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Losses are Oklahoma and USC. They've got three straight wins here. They are, I believe, ranked 18th right now. Is Michigan better than we've realized? Because I feel like everybody's pretty much just slept on Michigan all year long.
Because they're boring. Because you're right. There's nothing there. And, you know, look, Ohio State's not going to go back for a quick second. Ohio State's not going to lose to UCLA. There's a chance, speaking of your quarterback pool, there's a chance Nico is that quarterback. He could be Jaden Daniels light. There's a shot he is the best quarterback that Ohio State's going to face outside of maybe overall 10 years from now, Arch. But, you know, so there is a little danger there just to, you know, see what he does. They're not going to lose, but there's at least something to keep an eye on. But for Michigan, okay, well, they, you know, they got blown away by, you know, they didn't do much of anything against Oklahoma, which sort of set the tone. And, you know, they've been 9-2. They had the other, you know, 34-13 loss, and they just, you know, they've been good against the mediocre teams and not great against the two good teams. And, you know, they're just kind of heading forward. But, it, you know this. It's all on, it's Ohio State, you know, can they hit the 3-foot putt when they get that shot? I mean, they're better. Ohio State should win that game by 30, but we know how that goes. It doesn't, it's all in their brains at this point. You know, if they have one bad spark early, who knows? But that's foreshadowing ahead. But look, if you're Michigan, just keep winning. Get to the Ohio State game 9-2. And if you do that again, all of a sudden you go from blah to the college football playoff with 10-2.
Rick Neuheisel says Notre Dame's monster brand has tainted the playoff rankings. I love the beef, by the way, that Neuheisel's going for here. But is he right about that? The idea that Notre Dame, they have two stellar losses, but I hate calling it stellar losses, Pete.
I don't get it. I don't get the hate. It's lazy is what this is. Because to really analyze what Notre Dame had happen, one, if you're going to forgive the Alabama, we've all forgiven the Alabama loss to Florida State where they didn't even show up. And that Miami game, that could have gone the other way. And that was just a simple coaching, you know, game one error where they tried to do the same game plan that they did in the year before in the Texas A&M game to start the season when it was a, you know, 190 degrees with a 1,000,000% humidity. They tried the same thing. They were like, let's get to the last 20 minutes and then we're going to lean on our Heisman caliber running back. The problem was they got behind and they didn't use Jeremiah Love until it was too late. And even then they still almost won. And then the Texas A&M loss, obviously no shame there. They're undefeated and probably going to win the SEC championship. And they're but for a botched hold on an extra point or a fourth down stop where Marcel Reed made a miraculous play. If you remember, he spun out of the sure sack and then, you know, winged a prayer into the end zone that worked. If that doesn't happen, you know, Notre Dame wins that game. Okay, that fine. They lost, but that was two games ago. But they're dominating everyone else. They beat USC by 10 points. Every game's been a double-digit win. And now let's see what happens against Pitt. It's a dangerous game this weekend. But they're better than last year. I mean, it's just lazy to kind of say, oh, well, Notre Dame's not in a conference, or they got two losses. Why are they this high? Well, because they're good. They're better. They've figured it out. They're getting better as the year has gone on. The defense has been better. The kicking game's a disaster. They need Noah Burnett to get healthy again. But this is, and you talk about in the college football playoff, who are the teams can actually do some damage? Obviously, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia's the one from the SEC to worry about more than anybody else there. And Notre Dame. I mean, those three teams are the teams I'm most afraid of. Actually, it's to go with this. Georgia and Notre Dame are the two teams you're probably most afraid of if you're Ohio State.
Pete, when we look at the most recent college football rankings, no movement in the top five, a little movement in the top 10, but really it's from probably 18 back where we saw the most movement. What did they get right this week? What did they get wrong?
Probably pretty much they got everything right. They're fine. You know, because again, this is just a holding pattern. They're going to throw it all out. And all that matters is, did you win your Power Four conference championship and or did you get to 10 wins? Here's the thing I'm going to prep. I keep trying to preach this gospel because if they go by precedent from before, you know, they can always change this. They can always do whatever they want. They could put Louisiana Monroe in the top four if they wanted to. So you never know. But if they go by the precedent since this thing all started and how they roll, be prepared that we just talked about Notre Dame. They're going to keep moving up. If they beat Pitt, they keep moving up. They could be like 7-ish or so, and all of a sudden the final rankings be 11th. Because Pitt's also the key against Miami. Now, I don't trust Miami at all. They gagged last year when they had to beat Syracuse to get into the college football playoff. They got to go to Pittsburgh in late November. That's a problem for a team from Coral Gables. But let's say they win this. South Florida is going to rip through everybody. South Florida really is legit pretty good. They're going to win the American Conference. Notre Dame's going to go 10-2. If Miami gets to 10-2, they blew out South Florida. They beat Notre Dame. And so in the same kind of way the college football playoff committee did it 2 years ago and they had to leave out Florida State because Texas beat Alabama, yeah, 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 they're going to have to say, well, if we're going to put in South Florida and we're going to put in Notre Dame, then the final rankings, they go head-to-head, they're going to put Miami in at like 10. So this is going to go pretty haywire pretty fast. And then this weekend, watch out for Oklahoma, because if it wins this against Alabama, then all of a sudden they're still in this. Again, Texas is still crazy in this. There's a lot of funky things that can happen over the next couple of weeks.
All right, Pete, I want to have a Texas Tech conversation because all offseason everyone told me they were just spending a bunch of money. And then you turn on these games and the kids are joking about the oil money and how prevalent it is, like signs during these games about basically how they're oil rich.
And
then
blue chips.
Yeah, and then Patrick Mahomes is showing up to these games, and somehow they're 9-1, and somehow they're number 6 in the country. And it's like, wait, this all happened really, really quick for Texas Tech.
That's the dream. That's it. That's the one. And here's the positive. I know it's like, oh, they bought themselves a team. Well, okay, great. You know what? If you're Texas Tech and you have not won, I think I got this right, where they haven't won a conference championship since like 1947 or something. I mean, even Mike Leach never won anything there. Texas Tech's never been able to win anything. And so, okay, you know what? If you got a bunch of rich boosters who want to give their money, yeah, yay. It's fun for a fan base to do that. I kind of put Indiana and Texas Tech kind of in the same category, where they're very good. They can beat anybody. They look great. But the college football playoff is not the NCAA tournament. You can't just get hot from 3, get to the Elite Eight. You got to go through a Georgia or a Notre Dame or an Alabama or an Ohio State or a Texas A&M and on and on and on. I think they're going to be good. They're going to be a tough out. I'm not quite buying that this is like a national championship team. They're the type of team that wins a game, maybe a second, and then they play an Ohio State team tough, and then it's like, oh, well, they lost in a tough, hard-fought battle.
Pete, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate you. We appreciate you sticking with Nico Iamalieva. That love. You haven't let that love die. That's called loyalty, my friend.
He's good. He's a good guy. You'll love him more when he's a Brown next year.
Pete, come on.
No, that's just mean.
Come on, buddy.
That was mean.
Come on. Have we not suffered enough? Thank you so much.
Thanks,
buddy.
Pete
Fucek there. College football news on the Fan Hotline. So it should be noted, we remember the knee slapper at the trade deadline when the Browns were telling everyone that you have a better chance of winning the lottery than Myles Garrett getting traded. Yes, we remember that?
Yeah.
That's just some A material. Like, Seinfeld should take that one. It was just so good. However, we had the Charles Robinson report that he had heard that Howie Roseman was hot on the trail of Myles Garrett, even offering 3 first rounders. Well, Elliot Wolf, as part of his Patriots duties, former Browns front office now with the Patriots as their GM, was asked about his team not making a trade at the deadline and had a very interesting response.
I'm always frustrated when we're not able to help improve the team. Mm-hmm. It takes two. We made a lot of calls. We did a lot of work on that. And ultimately, we just didn't feel like, giving up 3 ones for somebody was probably the right move at this time.
Now, it should be noted, there was really only one player out there that was linked to 3 firsts.
Yeah. I mean, Trey Hendrickson, I think, was linked to like a 4th rounder when it was all said and done. Like, the value was not there for him the same way it was there for Miles.
So, obviously, Elliot Wolf is saying they had prolonged discussions or at least internal discussions about trading for Myles Garrett, and that they didn't want to meet that price. I don't know how you heard it, but when I first heard it, I heard, oh, there's a price, and they just didn't want to meet it at that moment.
Well, so then what's interesting is that then that price, because that's what we thought Howie was offering up, though.
Yes.
So, like, is he just taking that off of what Howie told him as 3 first rounders, or did he call up and then say, this is the starting price, and then we're having conversations?
I don't think it's a push to say that Charles Robinson, who's very connected, like, I always kind of felt like the Eagles thing, not saying that those conversations didn't happen or that Howie wouldn't want the idea that he's trying to make that kind of trade out there. It serves him. It serves the optics of, we're trying to trade for this guy, just no one will give him up, no matter what. But from the Browns standpoint, I think the Browns kind of looked at this and it's like, well, we'd like 3 firsts, but I think I'd rather New England's first than Philly's first.
Or, well, okay, so, and then what's, we can bring some other teams in this equation as well, and we will shortly, but, like, I don't know, one of my takeaways from this is the idea that maybe that knee slapper wasn't as much of a knee slapper, and it really was the reality for them. Like, it didn't really matter, there was no godfather offer for them, because they were already offering up three first-round picks, and it turns out people were, at least maybe not the Patriots, but at least other teams were considering that.
Yeah, I think this goes...
Like, people were calling.
People were definitely calling, but I think what's interesting is, when you hear, we just weren't willing to give three first up for it, what I'm hearing is the Browns said...
You thought that was the price?
That's the price. And so yeah. I think that makes it really, interesting.
It's tough then, because with the Eagles and that report then, it's a little conflicting, but if we're in the same ballpark, we're in the same area, the big... takeaway here is that these conversations aren't going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and I also think, like, again, this goes back, the theme of today has been...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's what they say and here's what they do. I think this speaks to the idea that there was a trade out there that the Browns would have moved off of Miles for. And I think it's been interesting that since Miles's meltdown after the Patriots game, Miles has been very much in lockstep with the organization. And it makes me wonder what changed. Because the quarterback play hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Because the team has continued to lose games in incredibly silly and stupid ways. So I don't know. This could be a lot of things. This could have been the team went to him and said, Miles, remember, we talked about the leadership thing. That was an unprofessional meltdown. Doesn't seem like that's the kind of accountability that they have in the organization, but that could have happened. It also could have been, hey, Miles, we'll talk, wink, wink. And whether it's right now or later, we'll see if there's a deal on the table for you that makes sense.
I mean, it would make sense if they're kind of almost stringing them along to just like play nice and then we'll get you to the offseason. And like clearly your value hasn't gone away. The league still wants you. You're going to get, you'll have your money. You'll have your say. And if anything, after the season, you'll have a better chance of landing at a team that you actually want to go to instead of one of these teams that we just draw up and say, here you go.
Now, I also wonder, could Elliott Wolf be trolling the Browns organization?
That might be the fact, too.
I don't think Elliott really enjoyed the way things ended here, nor does John Dorsey, nor did Alonzo Highsmith. So he can't throw that off the table either. Well, Adam Schefter also had something to say about this at Myles Garrett and the trade deadline with the Browns when he was on WGN News and talking about the Bears' interest in Myles Garrett.
They acquired Joe Tryon Chiainka from the Cleveland Browns. And when they were calling the Cleveland Browns, they did ask about Myles Garrett as well, but Myles Garrett was not available. So they made a move that they obviously felt made a little bit more sense and somebody that was attainable, unlike the all-world defensive end Myles Garrett. They made calls. They did what they could. It takes two teams to get a deal done. And in certain cases, other teams were not necessarily willing to part with players like Myles Garrett.
I'm going to say, based off what we heard from Adam, we heard from Elliot Wolf, the Charles Robinson thing.
Yeah.
And again, did Howie Roseman really offer three firsts? Or was that out there to gauge the market for Myles Garrett?
Oh, you're saying like they were trying to start the convo at three firsts. They wanted to use Charles Robinson to put that convo out there to start? Because that actually makes some sense.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I just have this sinking suspicion that the Browns told anyone that called, hey, he's not on the table, but there's a price out there.
That's kind of what it sounds like with Schefter and the Bears right there. It really sounded like that's what happened, and then they ended up with JTS. Imagine that. You're going car shopping for a Lamborghini, and then you end up with like a bicycle. I mean, that's got to be the saddest. That's going to be the saddest hanging up of a phone call
you've
ever had.
It's like going, you're like, hey, I'm about to buy this Lambo, and the guy goes, you know, it's better, this one skate.
Yeah, right? Like, great. We got a unicycle
giving,
for you, even.
Tryon Shoyanka, a little too much credit, because he wasn't even in the top four of Brown's edge rushers.
You get the point, though. The point is that you ended up with nothing close to what you initially had called for. And I think it was just because the Browns seemed pretty steadfast, I guess, that they weren't willing to make a move here. I wonder if there would have been that Godfather type situation. Albert wasn't speaking the way he was speaking for nothing.
I'll just say this. I have a distinct feeling that if Myles, especially after that game we saw what that game did to Myles, it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots had offered three firsts. I don't think Myles is here today.
Well, so I'm so fascinated by what he will basically remove his no trade clause for and what he won't. Mm. And so, like, to me, the Patriots are that team. The Bears aren't that team for me.
Yeah, that would make sense. I would imagine that they've already. Okay,
you think he's got a list of teams?
We're going out on a few limbs here, but I would guarantee that the Browns and Myles, if there's already an understanding that at some point we might have to break up, we're at least going to be listening to offers for you. I would imagine Myles said, here are the teams I'd be willing to go to. And it makes sense that the Vrabel connection, Drake May, it would make sense that Myles would be willing to go to New England and be an absolute hell no for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, there's just too many questions still around the Bears. But I don't even know that Drake May solidified himself enough at this point either, though. Like, I tend to think there was probably a good amount of Myles Garrett watching that Patriots game and being like, that's how a quarterback looks. Put him on the list, but I don't know, with no trade clause, you only get that. There's only a couple teams, but he wants out. That's the other side of this as well. So maybe it'd be like six or seven teams.
I think it's gonna be a really interesting offseason. Remember, the Rams, known for big swings. Rams have two first rounders this year.
F those picks
in 2026.
Wes Snead always says it. But we don't even know if Matthew Stafford's going to return after this season. Even though he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't know what's going to happen there.
No, I don't. But I think the Rams are a team to watch. I think the Patriots are a team to watch. And I think what you said about 6 minutes ago is the number one takeaway we should all have, which is, I think over the next 8 weeks, I think it's going to go a long way to determine Myles Garrett's future in Cleveland. I think there is a price out there that the Browns would be willing to to seriously try. I don't think there's an excuse that Elliot Wolf put it the way he did on Patriots state-run media. He was clearly talking about Myles, the only guy that was out there with the three first-rounder price tags. And I have a feeling if the Browns get to the end of this season and there's a new head coach and new GM in place, they're going to say the obvious, which is we need to hit the reset button. And I think that's going to mean the eject button for Myles Garrett.
I mean, I've already blocked out my months. January, we'll be doing head coaching and GM stuff. February and March, we'll be doing Myles Garrett trade conversations.
Don't forget my mock drafts.
Well, April will be really, really into the draft. The draft will always exist in all of this. It'll be a combo within all of this. But, like, what's the big story, the big conversation? It's going to be, I mean, I blocked it out. February, March, we have a big Myles, kind of like we did last year. We'll do Super Bowl Radio Row again, the whole everything.
A lot of fun. 216-474.
And Joku's shirtless running around.
0092. He's always shirtless. That's an evergreen thing. You heard what Elliot Wolf had to say. We just weren't willing to give up three first rounders at this trade deadline. Do you take that to what I took that to be, that proof that the Browns were a lot more amiable to trading Myles Garrett than they had previously said? The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.